right, gentlemen, welcome to Ask Me Anything podcast, episode number 2. As always, I'm joined with the beautiful Jermaine. Say hi, Jermaine.
Hello.
And the sensual Andrew.
Hello.
First of all, a little bit of housekeeping. If you want your question answered, go to the Attraction Institute forum, go to the welcome mat, and up the very top of it, you'll see a little thing that says Ask Me Anything. Bang your questions in there and we will answer them. Possibly if we get time on the call. We've got another 5 questions here and we're going to be working through them right now. All right. Wonderful. So I don't have people's names attached to these questions because I'm not very good at what I do. But start off with the first question. How will I be able to understand what she wants and give it to her unconditionally without drifting away from my internal focus and doing what I personally want? So this is a really good, I'm going to take this one first because it kind of really comes back to the core philosophy of AI. And the real basics of it is that in order to attract a woman, you just need to make her feel the way she wants to feel. It's about being able to give to her unconditionally. If she wants to feel excited, make her feel excited. If she wants to feel secure and safe, make her feel secure and safe. Attraction is a feeling. And if you can make a woman feel the way she wants to feel, then she will be attracted to. So then this question always comes up of, you know, how can I give her what she wants without needing anything in return and without losing focus of what I want to do? And the real simple answer to that, to a very sort of big and complex question, is get your life to a place where you feel like you can just want to give to people. When you arrive at a place in your own life where you feel like you can just give to people around you and you like your core drive is to just help other people out, then it will be the same about giving to women. And so then the question is, well, how do you get to that place in your life? And the way you get to that place in your life is to be able to have everything that you want, which is in regards to feelings. Like you can feel the way you want to feel whenever you want. If you can walk into a room and feel confident and strong and powerful, regardless of how people respond to you, and you can walk into that room and you can feel connected to people regardless of how they respond to you, and you can feel free and open in that room regardless of how people respond to you, when you have everything you need inside, the natural transition from that place is to want to share that with other people and want to give that to other people. And not to everyone. You'll only want to give it to people to particular people. But when you find a girl who, I don't know about you guys, but when you find a girl whose smile is just so amazing and beautiful and radiant that all you want to do is make her smile because you love seeing her smile, you'll give to her freely without ever needing anything in return. And without, like, giving to her freely will be what you want to do. So the short answer is get your life to a place where giving to other people is what you really want to do because you have everything and you can just give to them without needing anything in return. That's how you do it. Anyway, that's my 2 cents. Jermaine, you got anything you want to add?
No, that was right on.
Yeah. I'm pretty smart.
I can't even imagine what I would add to that.
Okay.
That's pretty right on, man.
Yeah. Andrew, you got anything in your deep sensual voice?
Yes. Well, the thing yes, I would add.
I would.
I remember when I was like, oh, yeah, I want to be able to give all the time. Like, I put pressure on myself when I was trying to do that. But you've got to realize you're not going to always be able to give everything to the girl all the time. Like, yeah, shit happens, so you got to take care of it. But the more that you're taking care of yourself and you can recover quickly and faster, then you'll be able to give her what she wants because you'll be in that state. Yeah, it depends on you.
Yeah. And I mean, that's one thing I didn't touch on, which is kind of really important to include, is that, like that Andrew said, is that this is not a permanent state. Like, you don't just wake up and every minute you're just like, yeah, I'm so fulfilled and happy and I'm the man. I can just give to everyone. This is like an ever fluctuating state. And sometimes you're going to feel great and feel like you can just give to people. And sometimes you're going to feel like you need to take time out and you need to deal with your own shit in order to be able to give to other people. And if that's the case, then take that time out. Give yourself that space and that freedom to be able to deal with your own stuff. I know my relationship with my fiance, I think I spoke about this on last call, I can't remember, but I structure my day very specifically so that when she goes out to work, So I know my girlfriend loves to connect. That's really exciting for her. That's what she really loves. And in order for me to be able to give her everything that she wants, I need to be in a space when she comes home from work where I want to connect with her. So in order to do that, I spend my entire day working and kicking my own ass and just working and working and working and head down. So by the time she comes home, all I can think about is connecting with her. And that works out perfectly for both of us. So it's about sort of learning about what you need and what you need to do to structure your life so that you can give freely to people. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I completely lied. I do have something.
Again.
Okay. You just mentioned this.
Mexican black.
Right. That's both sides prefer to lie when they can. So I blame my genes for that. My upbringing.
And the government.
Oh, I definitely blame the government.
Hey, I just read a story related to this. Some dude suing Apple because he bought an iPhone and it gave him too much of access. He's claiming it gave him too easy access to pornography. And because the iPhone gave him easy access to pornography, he became addicted to pornography and it ruined his relationship with his wife. And that is Apple's fault.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Yeah, that makes sense, right?
Yeah, it's totally. Because Apple didn't include a warning on the phone that said, this phone can give you access to pornography and pornography can be addictive. So therefore, it's Apple's fault that he ruined his relationship with his wife by being addicted to pornography.
That poor guy.
Wow.
Dude, I'm going to join his lawsuit because the same thing happened to me.
Yeah, same thing's happening to me right now. I'm actually watching pornography as we record this call. Sorry, we'll get back, to answer your question.
On the iPhone.
Yeah, on the iPhone. Sorry, Jermaine, what did you have to say? You said you were going to lie and then add something.
Yeah, I had something to add. And this is something that Andrew touched on and something that you touched on. And that is,
you just want to feel important, so you're going to touch on it again.
Yeah, basically. I was feeling a little left out. I didn't feel right about that. And so I thought I'd butt in.
Okay.
particular people, you're not going to be able to share and be able to connect and be present like that with everybody, like you were saying. Mm. And that's the thing about recognizing that when you make those long-lasting changes, when you've become the kind of person who can give freely, where you're giving freely more than you're taking. Yeah. Because like you said, this is never going to be like, oh, I'm always giving.
I'm a man. Fuck off. Right. I'm a man.
It happens is when you are giving more than you are taking as sort of a habit of life, you tend to gravitate. Others tend to be attracted to you. Women tend to be attracted to you who want kind of connection. Just this weekend, I'm out at the bar and a good friend, a female friend, she comes in and she literally took me away from the group that we were with, sat me down at the bar and said, I haven't talked to you in a while and I know that you like to talk and I want to talk with you. I always look forward to coming out and when you're out, I want to talk with you. So she took me away, sat me down, and she was just wanted to connect.
Yeah.
And she knew that because that's what I've done in the past. And I've been able to do that. I've been able to listen to her, and she's been able to listen to me, and we have a good vibe going.
How long did it take for you to sexually harass her?
Oh, dude.
20 minutes?
Like, no, 0.2 seconds.
All right, straight away. Wham! Take that.
But see, I now attract the women that prefer to be sexually harassed. And so it actually worked out well. And that's my point. Yeah. See, having become a proficient sexual harasser, I tend to attract those who prefer harassment as their mode of love.
Oh, okay.
And so,
yeah. Like Andrew, for instance.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Andrew knows. I met Andrew.
Mm.
We spooned.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You and your little romantic mandate.
Mm-hmm. Romancing.
Yeah, so that was all. Let's keep going. Okay, so question number two comes from somebody else. What about balding? I'm trying really hard to keep myself from not falling into a big depression because of this condition. My goal is to attract women, but every time I look in the mirror, I can see that there's nothing I can do to stop the ugliness being installed a little bit day by day. How can I be radiant again and make women look at me when I see myself worse each day and my hair loss like a curse? myself is slowly dying and my attitude and positiveness gone. Mm. Andrew, I'm going to throw this over to you because you're bald.
Well, okay. Yeah, I'm 25 now and my receding hairline is going back further and further and further back. And
it's
down
your back now, isn't it?
It's it's basically all of my hair is just a receding hair.
Yeah. It's wrapped around the bottom of your feet and it's coming back up the front of your legs now.
Full circle, baby.
It's fantastic.
Sorry, yeah. Go on.
All right, so with balding,
yeah,
it kind of bothered me because it's like, shit, I can just see my hair disappearing like a lot of the time. And I have some other friends who are balding as well. And like some of them, okay, I don't know any who've used like Rogaine or anything or any of the chemical stuff to regrow it. But I've got one friend who it kind of bothers him. And then he researched it and he found out that you can eat a lot of seafood, which has a whole bunch of omega-3s or something. And that'll help you regain your hair. So
better hair through shrimp.
Dude, yeah, he eats seafood, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and snacks on it.
Is it working?
Yeah, it is. It is. Not like a full head of hair, but he's got like a few hairs popping up.
Wow.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. So if you're really into seafood, then there's hope for you, my friend. And if you want to spend money like on surgery and everything. But for me personally, since my hair is balding and I don't like having the thin hair, I usually just shave my head.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I've always said that's what I'd do if I didn't have long hair.
Yeah, it's kind of gives me a sense of control about how I look. And it, yeah, a cool thing is that it takes very little time to do my hair in the mornings. And yeah, that's what I do for balding.
Yeah. And you know what? I have a very similar. I have hair now, but it's nowhere near what it used to be. And I'm always seeing hair falling out. And it's like this nerve-wracking thing. It gets me all nervous sometimes. And I see it falling and I see it all in the sink. And it just reminds me. And then at one point, I've been dealing with this since my 20s as well.
Yeah.
And at one point I said, fuck it, I'm just going to shave it. And for about 5 years or so, I was just shaving my head. Because you just kind of accept that it's going to be falling out and it's not going to be the way it used to be. So fuck it, I'm just going to shave it all off. And I used to do that. And recently I let it grow out again. And of course I get all these comments from women about how I look better with hair and all this kind of thing. And during this time, you know, I went through AI. And those types of comments about, oh, you look better with hair, or, you know, me thinking about shaving my head or losing hair, all that sort of anxiety that comes with that had just kind of dissipated, because what I get now out of my interactions with women doesn't really depend on my hair.
Yes.
It depends so much more than anything on how I'm able to connect with her.
Yeah.
I know that eyes are a big thing. Like, so when the women find me creepy, it's usually they say because of my eye contact.
Creepy eyes.
So, right.
They'll old say, creepy oh my eyes, gosh. Punjab.
This guy, Punjab, he's got creepy eyes. Look at him. He's shifty. And it's always centered on my eyes. They like the hair. We like the hair, but it's so much more than just your hair. You know, it's your presence. It's your eye contact.
Yeah.
And it's who you are. It's who you can be when you're with them that really gives a good experience for them.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Like one thing that I did when I shaved my head was like, you just kind of accept yourself and with how you look. And one time I went out and just shaved half of my head, like
and when you say half, you mean like not kind of like sort of the underneath part and leave the bit on top. You like left half, wasn't it?
Left side.
The reverse hawk.
Yeah,
reverse hawk.
The half hawk kinda, yeah. But that, I've got a picture of it too. That sent some anxiety in my body. Like yeah. I'm pretty cool looking, like, however, like I can wear whatever or just look really shitty or whatever, but I still feel pretty confident in myself. But that actually gave me some anxiety, because it's like, this is totally out of, this is really, really strange, you know? But like, as long as you're focusing on it, then your anxiety just kind of comes up for you and you kind of transmit that when you're talking to people. But if you focus on just feeling good and talking to the other person, then it kind of just goes away.
Yeah.
Just in my experience. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely, that's same in my experience as well.
I actually have the most luscious and long locks you've ever seen in your entire life. So
that is no joke. That is no joke.
Not qualified to comment on this. But I do
this
have
a guy shows up and like he travels with his own fan. Lee travels with a fan. He's got a boy that he got from Thailand who always holds a fan for him when he walks around so his luscious locks can flow. I've seen this happen.
But in terms of like I had really bad acne when I was younger, and I still have like the marks of it from today, like today. And so I have a similar situation. It wasn't with my hair; it was with my skin. But the really big turning point for me in terms of being able to deal with that and overcome it and actually look people in the eye and have a great time and not worry about it was learning that I can attract women whilst looking like this. And attraction isn't about how good you look. I wrote a big article on this about how to be better looking. I'll link it from underneath this post because, yeah, it's worthwhile having a read through. I mean, but the question here says that you think that looks are really, really important in attracting women, that you need to look a particular way if you're ever going to attract women. And I mean, I know through my personal experience that isn't true, but it's still true for you right now. So in order for you to kind of go on this journey, for you being comfortable with the fact that you're going bald, you need to learn that you can attract women whilst being bald. It's a whole bunch of different stuff that you can do in there. But yeah, have a read of the article that I'll link below, and it'll kind of talk a lot about the role that looks play and how you can become better looking. Yeah, that's all. That's all I got for you. All right, let's keep moving. So here's another question. How do you stay in set, endure a test when she is shit testing you at the nightclub, when she doesn't talk to you back in that situation? So I guess the question is, what do you do when a woman doesn't talk to you in a nightclub? You want to have a crack at this, Joanne? What would you do if you walked into a nightclub and you're there to Sarge, and a woman and you and you approach an HB10 and she gives you a bit shield? What would you do in that situation?
I sit there shivering, shitting myself, throwing a drink in her face to be like, you know what, you're a bitch.
You're
and I run away.
Her.
Yeah, I end up flinging poo. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry, I lost focus. What was that?
So the question is, what do you do if you're in a nightclub and a woman won't talk to you?
Oh, gosh. It's interesting because when that happens, I actually feel somewhat connected to her in a strange kind of way. Because she's communicating very obviously that she doesn't want to talk to me.
Yeah.
And I don't really feel any sense of rejection. I don't feel any sense of a loss.
Yeah.
I actually feel kind of closer.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes any sense, but you know, if connection is something that, you know, where there's no barrier between two points,
yeah,
and she's very obviously, very clearly, no bullshit, no trying to be polite, just not engaging you at all.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, cool. All right. I get it. Good. Thank you for that. I actually feel kind of thankful.
Yeah.
When that goes on. And sometimes I'll express that. Yeah. Hey, thanks. That's the best cold response I've ever had, you know? And it feels good. Like, I don't mean it in a snarky way. It's like, Oh, wow. Thanks. That's cool.
It's actually it's like a real and genuine response rather than someone just playing politely and nicely with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Andrew, you got anything you want to add?
Yeah, usually at a nightclub, I don't really go around just trying to pick up women. But usually my goal is just to have a good time. And if I just want to go and, I guess my goal isn't the same as this one. But usually I don't have a good time by hanging around people who don't want to talk to me. So.
I like to hang around with people who beat me, people who won't talk to me, and people who will laugh in my face.
Yeah.
I like women to steal my testicles in stilettos too. One of my very good friends is a used to be the mistress at a BDSM nightclub, and one of her jobs was to wear stilettos and tread on men's scrotums. This girl is amazing. Oh, if you come to Sydney, I'll introduce you to her. She's incredible.
I need to
go. It's called Hellfire Club in Sydney. Yeah. Well, okay. So questions. Let's get back on track. So for me, two things. I look at this two ways. If I'm just kind of talking to this, it depends on what kind of girl this is. If this is the kind of girl that I actually want to talk to, and she's giving me the cold shoulder as a bit of a kind of playful, kind of like just testing where I am kind of thing, I fucking love it. When I used to go out all the time, the worst response that I could possibly ever get from a girl is to look at me and, like, you know, if I said hi, is to get her to look at me and say, hello, in a plain, banal, monotone, polite way. Because if she does that, there is absolutely nothing to play with. It's like this, she's giving you like a wet fish. She's like, hello, here you are. There's nothing. Just like, oh, well, let's have a nice conversation about facts and information and share some logical ideas about stuff. But if a woman gives you like an emotional response, regardless of what that emotion is, then there is something to play with. Then there's attitude. Then there's tension. There's like everything is happening there. If she gives you a bit of a cold shoulder or kind of crosses her arms and wiggles her head, you know, like black women do. Like if she just gives you a plain, nice response, there is nothing to work with. There's nothing to play with. Yeah. So if a girl is the kind of girl I want, if I want, like if I can see she's got attitude and aggression and like this, but there's underneath that, there's like real like femininity. I fucking love it when they don't talk back. But if a girl is not the kind of girl that I want, like if she's giving me the cold shoulder because she's using that as a way to impress her friends or like just trying to like prove how good she is and how she's above me, then I'll just be like, I don't want to stay in set. Why would I want to talk to that woman? So yeah, it depends on what kind of woman it is. That's all I have.
Cool beans.
Okay. All right, let's get moving. Love. What is love from your point of view and what is it not? And what role does it play in becoming confident and how it relates to sex? I'll take this one because it's kind of like confusing and a bit convoluted. What is love? There's about five questions here. What is love from your point of view and what is it not? In my point of view, love in my definition and the way I experience love is it's a connection and not just kind of like a surface level connection. It's the kind of connection that goes deep, really, really deep, where you've bared yourself and let go of your barriers and you've dropped deep with this other person and shared yourself in a way that goes beyond what most people are willing to share themselves. And they've shared themselves in the same way. And not necessarily in words. It can be physically, as in sex. It can just be in how you look at each other. But it's, yeah, love is a connection. And like the most deepest, most profound connection possible. What role does it play in becoming confident? In my way of looking at it, they're completely two unrelated things. I mean, it's the same as asking what role does love play in making sandwiches? Love might make you make great sandwiches. Who the fuck knows? But for me, they're completely separate. Love and confidence are completely unrelated topics. But, and how it relates to sex is a completely different story. How does love relate to sex? I feel like sex is a place where you can deepen love because it's another form of connection. And it's a space where letting go and being yourself and really dropping all the barriers is a safer area to do it. So sex can facilitate a deeper kind of love, and love can relate to trust. And so love and trust are actually two completely separate things. Someone can love you without trusting you, but if love can facilitate trust, and if a woman trusts you more, she's going to let go more and you're going to connect more, and then you can experience more love. But yeah, once again, they're completely unrelated things. So yeah, love from my point of view is just connection, and it doesn't really play a huge amount to do with confidence or sex. Yeah, that's what I got. What are your thoughts on that, Andrew?
Yeah, it's pretty complex, I'd say. Yeah. One thing, like, when I was, like, really thinking about love and just wondering and stuff, like, there's this dude named Osho, and he wrote a book, or he gave a lecture called, like, From Sex to Superconsciousness.
Yeah.
And it's about how, like, okay, we repress a lot of sex in, like, American society, it seems like, and...
Yeah, you're very good at that. Like,
yeah, dude, professionals. Yeah, and...
leading the world in self-repression and blame. Yeah. Sorry, go on.
But then, like, by repressing it, it takes, like, a... people have to hide it, and then it kind of takes a morphed form.
Yeah.
And then it's, like, the opposite of love, which would be openness and connection and just, yeah, connecting with everybody. So, like, because of the way that we're treating sex by, like, hiding it,
yeah,
we're not actually to, well, most people just see it as like something dirty.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's sex is just, it can be a whole bunch of things, and it can be something that really connects people, or it can be something that really separates people. It's weird, but like,
yeah.
I don't know. I'd have to think more about it, you know?
Yeah. What about you, Jermaine? You got anything on it?
Well, for me, I had a whole seminar on this last summer.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And what came up for me was just how often the word love is used to mask what is ultimately dependence.
Mm-hmm.
That one says, I love you, I love you and only you, and you fill this hole that is within me.
What they're really saying is, I need you and only you. You fill this hole inside me. Yeah.
I love you because I need you. I know that I have found true love because I can't imagine being with anybody else but you. Mm. You fill this hole for me. And so a lot of times, and in the media, the way that it's portrayed in movies and romantic comedies, love is synonymous with dependency.
Yeah.
Dependence.
Yeah, I think you just made up a new word there.
Yeah, dependency. and so I know that, you know, when you start talking about love, one of the things to get really clear on is that love is an experience.
Yeah.
And when we start talking about love as if it were a thing out there, and like Andrew was saying, in our culture, because there's such a stigma against sex, you know, love becomes almost like another technique for finding connection. Like,
if I can get her to love me,
I really need is love, you know? Yeah. Like, all you need is love and everything will be fine.
Yeah.
And you hear people talk about their relationships that way. You know, love will get us through, but they're so unhappy.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's the one thing I would add.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good point, is people confuse neediness for love, and they actually, the way I look at it, is they're actually completely separate things. And there's that beautiful, beautiful quote by Osho that's in, it's on the forum. Hang on, I'm going to read it because I think it's worthwhile reading. It's from his book, Being in Love, and I think it's in Endgame, and it may also be in Seduction Community Sucks, because it's just, no, I think it's just in Endgame. Anyway, the quote is, the capacity to be alone is the capacity to love. It may look paradoxical to you, but it is not. It's an existential truth. Only those persons who are capable of being alone are capable of love, of sharing, of going to the deepest core of the other person, without possessing the other, without becoming dependent on the other, without reducing the other to a thing, and without becoming addicted to the other. They allow the other absolute freedom, because they know that if the other leaves, they will be happy as they are now. Their happiness cannot be taken by the other, because it is not given by the other. Then why do we want to be together? It is no longer a need, it is a luxury. Try to understand it. Real persons love each other as a luxury, it is not a need. They enjoy sharing. They have so much joy, they want to pour it into somebody, and they know how to play their life as a solo instrument. The solo flute player knows how to enjoy his flute alone. And if he comes and finds a tabla player, a solo tabla player, they'll enjoy being together and creating a harmony between the flute and the tabla. Both will enjoy it. They will both pour their richness into each other. From Being in Love by Osho.
Oh.
Yeah. Say that. Amen. Go ahead.
Amen.
Go ahead now.
Amen. And I guess sort of that's what we're talking about here, is the difference between love and independence. And again, this comes back to the question, well, how do you, if love and dependence are two different things, then in order to be able to love someone, you have to become independent, look fully independent. Like we were talking before in the one of the previous questions, about how do you be able to give to someone freely? I guess these questions are pretty closely aligned. You need to be able to give yourself what you want. You need to be able to feel strong and confident and free and happy and connected to people, regardless of how they respond to you or regardless of how the world responds to you. Because when you reach that place in your life, then and only then can you truly love someone and not need them and not be dependent on them in your life.
Lovely.
Brilliant. That's all I got. You guys got anything else?
You want to share?
No.
That's good, pretty shit.
It's pretty awesome. And now we've got a question by Mariano. And there's about eight questions. So I'm going to read the whole thing. And then we're going to just answer like one little bit of it. Probably one little bit at a time. Or maybe just one little bit in total. Because there's so much in here. What are the ways you know how to spot your blind spots? And Mariano, English isn't his first language. So the English is a little bit all over the shop here. But I guess you can work it out. What are the ways you know how to spot your blind spots, get reality checked, and spot bullshit you're using / running? How do you apply them in your daily life? Especially any ways you can apply by yourself when you don't have a mentor or other person to call you on your bullshit. What do you do, have you done when you notice something is off in the way you're living? Like, I notice that I'm trying to control the external environment again. I need to what? How do you bring yourself back on track? What are the tools you can think of to snap yourself out of that? What I've experienced that helps is pain. The pain of seeing yourself stuck while others are way ahead of you, having started years after you. The pain of still being in the same place, the pain of not feeling good enough. But anything you can add to that would be great. I know that I have a shit ton of stuff to work on to be the kind of man my ideal woman wants, to approach her and life in general from the place that I want to. Should I still work on getting comfortable with approaching at the same time as I'm dealing with my other shit? So yeah, that's the whole question. And there's about 30 different things in there. Jermaine, you want to take a crack at one of them? Just take your pick.
Yeah, I'll take a crack at one of them. Basically, what I read this is like letting yourself off the hook. What I mean by that is, how do you know when you know that you are not living up to the ideal that you want to live up to?
Okay. Yeah.
How do you notice when something is off in a way that you're living? He brought it back to pain, and I think that's pretty wise on his part.
Yeah.
Because I think pain, negative emotional reactions, suffering, frustration, that those moments are so instructive because they're telling you, look, you're not taking the action you need to be taking.
Yeah.
And so being able to work out what it is that you're really wanting in those moments when you have those negative emotional reactions, in those moments of frustration, in those moments when like you just feel so behind and fuck, am I ever going to get this handled?
Yeah.
That feeling is like, okay, what is it that's going on here? What is it that I want?
Yeah.
And so for me, I think that's how I would begin to
spot your blind spots,
to spot your blind spot, yeah, and be your own best friend, your own best,
yeah,
mentor.
Yeah. 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 No, I'm totally on board with that, man. That was the answer that I was going to give. The way you really spot your blind spots without a mentor and without being able to have the incredible luxury of someone sitting across from you and saying, hey, I'm seeing this in you. You might not see this yet, but I'm seeing this in you, and this is bullshit and you need to deal with it. Which, I mean, for me personally, I spend a lot of time in men's groups. I'm sort of been pretty lucky to have surrounded myself with an incredible bunch of people who are able to call me on my own bullshit, long before I can see it in myself. Yeah. But if you don't have that amazing luxury, then pain is probably the best way. And sort of not pain as in physical pain, and not sort of necessarily pain as in like that soul crushing, like my heart is about to, like, feels like it's just been torn out of my chest, but the kind of pain which is, it's a subtle kind of pain. And a lot of the times I know through my journey, the pain that helped me work out that I was off track was more of a feeling of emptiness than pain. So I would, you know, be living my life and I would be doing sort of what I think is right and things would be going fine. And then I'd be doing the same kind of things, but I would just notice that there would be this hollowness behind it. And for me, that was the really, really big indicator. There was a blind spot that I was missing. There was something going on here that I was running bullshit somewhere in my life. Yeah, just like a hollowness to what I was doing. You know, when laughing doesn't feel as good as laughing used to, and when playing doesn't feel as good as playing used to. And yeah, that was that. That's the really big one for me. Andrew, what about you, man?
Yeah, like when you were describing that, like I could totally feel that emptiness, that hollowness when something's not going right. Like even if other people tell you that, yeah, you're doing this stuff, you must be happy because yeah, you're in college, or wow, you got a nice car, oh, all this stuff. It's like, but if you feel that inside of you, it's like, you know, something's not right. So it's definitely looking inside and just being connected with yourself. That's the number one way to like spot your own bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think like a really easy analogy to kind of make this sort of simple for guys to understand is that when you eat, if you have like done sport for like 5 hours, you know, just running and running and sweating and like just working out and killing yourself, and you haven't drunk any water, then the first sip of water you drink is the most amazing thing. Like, I'm sure you know the experience. It just feels incredible. Your body just goes, ah, this is what I need.
Yeah.
But if you've like just been sitting on your ass all day, drinking heaps of water, eating heaps of food, and you go to take another drink of water or go to eat some more food, there's no satisfaction or sense of like real like fulfillment behind it. And that's sort of, if you're feeling that sense of like, you know, oh, yep, just kind of going through the motions, putting things in my mouth, no real kind of satisfaction behind it, then it means there's a blind spot there. You're doing something out of habit. You're doing something because you think you need to. You're following somebody else's rules. You're lying to yourself about what you really want. You haven't been taking enough action. There's some little blind spot there. Yeah, that's the best way to do it. Obviously, you can't go past having a mentor. Having somebody who can like actually listen to what's going on in your world and call you on your own bullshit is incredible, especially having someone who's really trained and really knowledgeable and has been where you are before. You can't beat it. But if you don't have access to that right now, then trying to, yeah, just notice your experience as you go through your day. How does this feel to me? How does this feel to me? How does this feel to me? And if it doesn't feel like you've been playing sport for 5 hours and just had the first sip of water after that, then maybe it's time to look at what you're doing and why you're doing it and where it's taking you.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the five questions for that. I think we just scraped it in under an hour.
Mm.
Motherfuckers, we're good.
Booyah.
All right, gentlemen, you guys got anything you want to add before I do a little wrap-up spiel?
I'm good.
Jermaine?
I'm doing all right.
Okay. That's it for today. That's all the five questions. If you have questions about anything we've spoken about today, feel free to chuck them in the comments below. If you've got questions that you want answered, get them in the Ask Me Anything thread, which is on the forum. Go to the welcome mat, and it's right at the very top of the welcome mat. Ask Me Anything. Yeah, that's it. I have actually nothing more to contribute to this conversation.
Yeah, I'm tapped out.
Okay, awesome. All right, guys, it's been a lot of fun, and I will talk to you again later. Bye.